Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Monday, the 17th of January, recording at 9:16 p.m., and that's Greenwich Mean Time. Now, first, a quick look at the highlights here today. Asian stock markets, the main drama was the decline in the China A-share market. That was down just over 3% on another reserve requirement of 50 basis points for Chinese banks. The other China indices showed much, and China-related indices showed much smaller declines, as in half of 1% for the Hong Kong Hang Seng Index. The European stock market indices were mostly a little lower. A couple of exceptions were the German DAX and the Swiss SMI, which were both up small fractions. A quiet day generally because Wall Street is closed due to the Martin Luther King holiday. And in the other Americas that I can see, Brazil's still trading but down about 0.5%. Mexico slightly higher. Toronto down, Canada down a tiny fraction. Long-dated government bond prices eased slightly in Europe, a wee bit firmer, but are a wee bit firmer in the USA. The dollar index is a wee bit steadier. The euro is the main decline, down about a cent. And elsewhere, I see the among commodity currencies, the Australian dollar is back up to 99.41. Sterling slightly firmer at just under 159. Now, with the U.S. markets closed, although but the U.S. markets were closed, but some of the futures markets for the U.S. were trading. NASDAQ futures have shown a decline today because Steve Jobs has taken another medical leave at Apple, and so that's hit Apple shares as traded in Germany, and the S&P is down 4.5 points. Today. That's the S&P future. Now, elsewhere, precious metals, which have been trading on futures, are very quietly mixed. Gold up just under a dollar, $1,362.65. I see platinum down $5.810, but it's been one of the stronger ones recently. Very quiet activity here overall. Silver at $28.32. Industrial metals were mostly a little easier, except for tin, which remains quite firm. The grain and bean complex did not trade. And what else to mention? That's pretty much it in terms of the highlights. Crude oil a little easier, down to 91 and 98.60 on the Brent. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, the big story has been commodity prices. This is something that Fuller Money has warned about really for quite some time, and that's still very much a factor. It's a factor, though, that's moved from way deep in the back pages of the financial press on up to the front pages of the financial press and the front pages of the business sections in other newspapers. So it's very much out there in the public domain, and therefore at least partially, if not substantially, discounted. And it has weighed more heavily on the emerging progressing markets, the growth markets, in other words. I think I may switch more to that term of growth markets Because it, I think it's certainly a very accurate description, and I don't like calling them emerging, as you know. I haven't for a long time because some of them are very first world and very definitely emerged. Okay, enough of that digression, but it has hit the commodity price inflation has hit those markets harder because generally in countries such as China, but India in particular, that food makes up or takes a higher proportion of income than it does in the West. Therefore, food price inflation has attracted far more headlines in those parts of the world. And they've also had some distribution problems in India. We've had emails to that effect, as you will have seen, perhaps in recent weeks. And certainly food inflation has been a problem throughout these growth economies generally. And that has put upward pressure on short-term interest rates. Central banks have moved to tighten rates somewhat, and so that has led to the underperformance that we've seen over the last couple of months or so for those markets relative to Wall Street. I maintain that Wall Street's relative strength is a positive factor here overall, and the growth economies aren't going to outperform all the time. But I think that Wall Street's positive performance, provided that continues, really is an indication that yes, we can get reactions and corrections in other markets where inflation is a bigger problem and where interest rates have been moving up, but we're unlikely to get anything that would qualify as a genuine bear market. Now, what about China? Because I mentioned a 3% down in the Shanghai A-share index due to the 50 basis points reserve requirement. Now, it's quite clear that China has been targeting the banks and the property sector specifically. For really the better part of I think for over a year overall. And this goes right back to the end of July, beginning of August 2009. And we know the background story to that because China and all other countries pumped their money supply way up. In response to the 2008 meltdown, because they feared all the depression talk that we actually had. China, as it turned out, didn't need anything like that stimulus, and so it created some particularly strong inflationary pressures in the property sector. And China's been trying to wring that out subsequently. And it, of course, it takes time, and China also doesn't want to tip the overall economy into recession, and that's certainly not a risk at this time. And the A share, and I don't think it's a risk over the course of this year or in the foreseeable future. Although obviously China will have its economic ups and downs, just like every other other economy, but I think this is specific targeting, and the A share index is very heavily weighted with those big capitalization banks, and that's why it has underperformed. But the China story is a complex one in terms of all of its different indices. And if you look around and look at the H share index and the Hang Seng index, and if you look at the Shanghai B share indices, these are all in clear overall upward trends, whereas the A share index in And I should say the Shanghai A-share index and the Shanghai Composite Index, again with that very heavy weighting of banks, and I think also a heavy weighting of property companies. Those are the ones that are actually underperforming, and those are the ones, therefore, that have put the indices into what just looks like a very lengthy, extended base formation development phase. Whereas the other indices that I mentioned, and I could go on, I could list more, such as the Shanghai B shares, or I think I already mentioned those, or the Shenzhen A shares or B shares, they're all in overall upward trends. Because they have different weightings. So now, looking at other influences on these markets, and going and re well, I think I really need to stay with the commodity sector generally, because that's something that I've warned about for a good many weeks, that did pose a threat. I said it was a good news story in the short term for those of us who had commodity positions. There were a lot of profitable opportunities, but that it would also be the next big risk, not protectionism and the other things that people have been talking about, not deflation, not double dip, but the commodity price inflation. Now, it would be premature to say that is over. And I see very little evidence that it is over. We do see some underperformance that's crept in. Currently, for instance, both silver and gold show that underperformance. And that may well be a concern for investors. There's an article on Bloomberg, very small feature, just saying that, talking about the possibility of some hedge funds actually getting out of some of their gold positions overall. I don't want to be spreading rumors, but I will post the article. But I think that investors who follow the gold price closely may wish to have a look at gold and silver, because currently within their ranges, both show a lower rally high, and both are testing some lateral ranges here around the 28 level for silver, and around that 1350 to 60 level for gold bullion. And if we were to see breaks below those two levels, unless they were reversed very, very quickly, that would indicate some additional pullback to actually occur. I think that would all be within what is an ongoing medium-term consolidation for gold. That's something that, if you've been listening to these audios, you'll be familiar with. It looked like that might be changing when we last had silver push up to a new high and palladium push up to a new high, but silver certainly couldn't maintain those gains and has pulled back, say, to where it's traded today at 28.30. So we're still in this reactive, corrective phase overall. So those are two commodities which have had spectacular performances over the last decade, but are underperforming at the moment. I certainly don't think that the overall secular bull market is over for these two commodities, but I would be a little bit cautious in the short term. The grain and bean complex, I think we'd be lucky to see peaks in that anytime soon, given the fundamental background that is one of chronically dwindling stockpiles at a time when demand has been rising overall. And the chronically dwindling stockpiles do largely to the La Nina, which is c cause those very turbulent weather conditions that have created havoc, as you know, in growing regions right around the globe. And that still continues, as we have seen with those horrendous floods in Australia and elsewhere. So I think it would certainly be premature to say that we've reached a peak in the grain and bean complex. And I also notice that rough rice is firming up within this triangular trading range that it's been that it's been forming. Crude oil, though, is going to be the most important one, and it has reasserted a gradual overall upward trend, very much led by the Brent crude right now, which I think got up to about the $99 level before the little over nearly to $100 before this little pullback in here today. So I think we may have this commodity price inflation pressure with us for a little longer here. The more that permeates through investor consciousness, and it depends which investors we're talking about. Commodity investors are very aware of it. Equity investors have been made aware of it more recently. I think bond investors have been in a form of denial, but needless to say, commodity price inflation is more of a problem for the bond markets, and that has reflected in the rise in yields that we've seen in recent months than it is for equities. Equities are a partial hedge against inflation, provided that inflation doesn't become so strong that it causes interest rates or causes central banks to push interest rates up much more sharply, slowing GDP growth and also corporate profits in the process. When that happens, then the commodity price inflation has become clearly a strong headwind. Today, I would describe it as a moderate headwind. And what else to mention here? In terms of currencies, we mostly have ranging patterns. We certainly don't have anything approaching a currency crisis, although they have been forecast by many a pundit, and fortunately not us. The dollar is still range bound on its major indices. The resources currencies, not surprisingly, are reasonably strong, as are the progressing growth Asian economy currencies. And the euro remains a soft currency generally. I don't think that's going to change anytime soon, but the main point is that it's not in a state of collapse, and certainly neither is sterling. And I think that pretty well wraps it up. Well, I don't think there are any holidays tomorrow, so we'll have a full day's trading here overall, and it'll be interesting to see the latest developments. Meanwhile, all the best to all of you.